We're in our study of Revelations today, looking forward to the return of our King, and the events we cover today are getting really close to that. I wrote this message for May 8th of 2022. It's titled The Seventh Trumpet, and we are in Revelations chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. So our context, where are we? The second cycle of judgments is in chapter 8, 2 to 11, 19. And 11, 19 is where we end today. So we are at the end of the second cycle of judgments. This closes with a second description of the second coming. This section of scripture zeroes in on the last judgment in 11, 18, and the triumph of God's rule in 11, 15, and 17. When there is an opening of the temple in heaven, this is the opening of the original temple. From this, the earthly temple was copied. So, my outline, the seventh trumpet. First, number one, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the time has come to judge the dead. Number three, God's temple in heaven was opened. So all scripture is really good to read and hear, but sometimes one scripture just stands out when one experiences it. Revelations 11:15 is one of those. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, our hope has been in Eve's son repairing this rebellion. Believers have longed for what we will read about today in Revelations 11. The sounding of the trumpet starts the wonderful reign of our Lord and Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Yay! I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Revelations 11, and we'll read verses 15 to 19. The seventh angel blew his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven. They said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. He will rule forever and ever." The 24 elders were sitting on their thrones in front of God. They fell on their faces and worshiped God. It was a time to destroy all those who destroy the earth. They said, "Lord, who rules over all, we give you thanks. You are the one who is and was. We give you thanks because you have taken our great power, your great power, and have begun to rule." The nations were angry at that time, for your anger has come. Time has come to judge the dead. It's time to reward your servants, the prophets, and your own people, and those who honor you. There is a reward for all your people, both great and small. It's time to destroy those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened. Inside it was a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, and it could be seen. There was flashes of lightning, rumblings and thunders, an earthquake, and a great hailstorm. That's the end of our text for today. Most of what we know will change here. Most of everything that we know and understand is going to change at this point in time. But Jesus said, "The Word of God will not." And this is where we need to take our stand, that the Bible is the truth. The Word of God will continue on even when all of this we know changes and goes away. The truth of God's Word will go on. Now, in the NIV Reader's Version of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, Paul writes to young Timothy, "We know the Holy Scriptures. They are able to teach us how to be saved by believing in Christ Jesus. God has breathed life into all of Scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right. By using scriptures, a man of God can be completely prepared for every good thing. That's the end. So, the seventh trumpet. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's point number one. The seventh trumpet sound, the arrival of our King. The seventh trumpet includes seven bowls and final judgment. We'll read about those in chapter 16 shortly. All these events are leading up to establishing the millennial kingdom and the coordination of Christ Jesus our King. But first, we look into a final climactic judgments and revelations. There is now no turning back. The coming judgments are no longer partial, but complete in their destruction. God is in control, and he unleashes his wrath on the evil world that refused to turn to him. When his wrath begins, there is no escape. So, today, from your heart, pray for the ones you know that are lost, and talk with them about him. Because this judgment day is coming. And on Mother's Day, you'll probably get together with family and friends, and you'll probably know somebody who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So talk with them today and encourage them in their steps forward of accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. A on your outline, the kingdom of the world has ended. Your three blanks are kingdom, world, has ended. The kingdom of this world is not a physical or a secular or a political kingdom. The Bible views the world spiritually as one kingdom with one ruler, Satan. In John 12:31, Jesus said, "Now is the time for the world to be judged. Now the prince of the world will be thrown to the end." So, Jesus is saying there is a time when the world is judged, and at that time, this evil prince, Christ, Satan, will be thrown down. Following Satan's lead into evil, the human rulers we've had in the world are most likely to be hostile to Christ. The long rebellion of the world kingdom will end with the glorious, victorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ will defeat each of his enemies and establish his messianic kingdom. This kingdom also belongs to the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. B on the outline. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ has begun. Kingdom, Jesus, begun are your three blanks. He will rule forever and ever. As we said earlier, this kingdom is not just a physical. The Bible views the kingdom spiritually, and the one kingdom will have one ruler, God. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all one, and they will rule this kingdom. See, the 24 elders fell on their faces and worshiped God. So your three blanks, 24 elders worshiped. They fell on their faces in front of God. In Revelation 11:17, they said, "Lord God, who rules over all, we give thanks to you. You are the one who was and is. We give you thanks because you have taken the great power and have begun to rule." The end. This is it. The curtain goes up. One last final phase of God's grand drama. It moves along rather quickly from here. It's interesting to know that this phrase, "who is to come," is omitted in the most reliable Greek manuscripts. Interesting. Most of the reliable Greek manuscripts do not have the phrase, "Who is to come?" I don't know why, but the coming of the kingdom is no longer future, but immediate. The 24 elders say, "We thank you, O God, sovereign, strong, who is and who was, and you know the great power you took to get your rule and your reign." The seventh kingdom outline we covered first, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, the time has come to judge the dead. It's judgment day. A on your outline, it is time to judge the dead. Here it is at last. When Jesus was here the first time, he told this parable. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate the people into two groups. They will be like the shepherd separating his sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. That's the end. Now the ancient nations were angry because the time of God's anger has come on them. The bold judgments we look into next is nasty. B on your outline, it's time for rewards. And your blank is rewards. It's time to reward our servants, our prophets, and our own people, those who honor you. There is a reward for all God's people, both great and small. In the Bible, God gives rewards to his people according to what they deserve. Throughout the Old Testament, obedience often brought reward in this life. But obedience and reward are not always linked. They're not always linked. Just because you obey does not mean you will immediately get a reward. If they were, good people would always be rich and the suffering would always be a sign of sin. If we were quickly rewarded for every faithful deed, we would soon think we're pretty good. Before long, we would be doing many good deeds for purely selfish reasons. It is true that God will reward us for our earthly deeds. Our greatest reward will be eternal life in his presence. See on your outline, it's time to destroy those who destroy the earth. God loves and cares for his creation. Here's a personal note. We cannot save, we cannot fix what others are doing to the earth around us. But we can decide not to participate in those acts. So we looked at the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the time of the judge of the dead. Now let's look into God's temple in heaven as it was opened. A on your outline, God's temple in heaven is opened. And your blank is opened. This opening implies that God is revealing himself. With God's presence comes the renewal of all things. But the further explanation of this renewal must wait for a later point, and there's some dramatic developments in Revelations. B on your outline. Inside the ark is his covenant. It could be seen. Your two blanks are his covenant. In the Old Testament days, the Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred treasure of the Israelite nation. The Ark was most like the most holy object in the tabernacle. It was normally concealed from sight behind the temple curtains. The revealing of this innermost object signifies that God has fully revealed his glory, both the glory of the law of his covenant and his mercy as shown on the atonement cover. See on your outline, there was lightning, rumblings of thunder on earth, and a great hailstorm. Was is your blank. This must be very impressive. It must be an impressive show. When God first showed up on Mount Sinai, he did it much like this opening here that we're looking at, and all the people were terrified and tried to hide. All the lightning, the thunder, and the other natural phenomena accompanying his appearance show the majesty of his power. So, I've had little struggles with this message today. I had people inside me working on my heart this week. I post those invasions of my body. It takes me a while to get all the wheels back under me. So I apologize for the presentation of God's word today. But things are just not right with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Word of God, the wonderful, wonderful truth that is in there. And humbly today, we bow before you and thank you for being such a great and glorious God and being so generous to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. Sing it to him. Great are you, Lord, 'cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, sing it out.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great.
We pour out our praise, it's your breath.
Pour out our praise to you, oh.